It's Tuesday, August 14th, and the Brewers are in a bit of a rut right now. We'll see if they can work their way out of it as they head to Wrigley Field this week. The Packers preseason game number one is in the books. Game number two comes up on Thursday night. Aaron Rodgers expected to make his first appearance of the season. To golf, Tiger Woods is back, right? And some quick thoughts on the Bucks schedule. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tapping the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE and at SnowTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Episode 300.
How are we doing?
We're there.
300. Can't believe it.
300.
If you are thinking about listening to 200 or 100, I'll give you some advice. Don't.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean,
it ain't worth digging.
Exactly. We've gotten a lot better throughout the years. So Mitch is here. He's doing well, as always, I assume.
Right, Charlie's buddy? Phone's still going off,
I
though.
I know. I'd mute that. That's came along.
I think mine is still loud, too.
We've come a long way from the basement of my parents' basement, literally like any blogger.
Yep.
Very ironic.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, we've been in the booth. Great to let us do this once a week here, and we do the Daily Tap, obviously, in the Snow Tap offices. So it's good. It's weird that it's the 300th podcast and I'm turning 30 tomorrow. Is a weird bit of irony as well. I don't know why ironic's on the brain, because I saw a tweet from Mike Florio, but we'll get to that later. You guys know SnowTap WI is where you can find all the podcasts. You can find Daily Tap. You can find Tapping the Keg. I have to do some manual labor on the site to get SnowTap Network its own tab. So then basically all you got to do is then save that tab and you have all your podcasts there. And if you like us enough and you think you're enjoying it, you can subscribe on whatever one you do, whether that is iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, the whole shebang. And if you really, really like us, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can follow Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter as well. So obviously we are thankful for all of you, for those who have listened once, for those who listen every day, for those who check in, you know,
once a week,
just for Tapping the Keg. Yeah. We appreciate all of you. So thank you to you.
Whether it's Bucks, Brewers, Badgers, Packers.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat. I mean, and we look forward to
Chuck's a Marquette guy as well.
The next 100, get out to that 400 level. I think that's when you bust out the Ted Williams picture, probably. Who's 300? Do you do Gerard Butler in 300, or maybe the movie poster?
Maybe.
Because, 300 in sports, the only real accomplishment is bowling. So maybe Pete Weber?
Well, winning wins for a pitcher.
Yeah.
300 is the mark.
Although,
used to be.
I don't think anyone's going to get to 300.
No.
I know CeCe, there might be a chance, outside shot for CeCe Sabathia.
Who's the last, Roger Clemens?
Clemens. I've fuck Roger Clemens forever. And it's not because he did steroids. I really don't care about that.
He's just a dick.
Exactly.
He's the biggest red ass of all time.
Bingo.
So, what's with these Texas guys? They're just red asses.
Right, exactly. So did you also find that Barry Bonds was a dick, or did you so he got his number retired over the weekend. I don't know if you saw that.
I always liked Barry Bonds.
So I wasn't a huge Barry Bonds guy, but I watched some of the some YouTube clips over the weekend of some of the home runs he hit, and it was just incredible. That one he hit in Yankee Stadium, where he hits it halfway up the third deck in old Yankee Stadium, is a phenomenal home run. John Miller goes, "Oh, he hit that to New Jersey." I mean, he just absolutely mashed baseballs.
John Miller still does games for the Giants.
That's amazing. How John Miller has to be half.
Yeah, he's
got
to be.
I mean, good on him.
He's got to be really old. Let me get it for you here.
I wonder if he's older than Euchre. They're probably around the same age.
I don't know. Euchre's 84.
Yeah. Does John doesn't try? I don't know if he travels.
No, I think he just does Saturday night home games or something like that.
So it's just kind of a once every now and again.
Yeah. Because they do what the Brewers used to do, and they'd run games. I think when they run it on a different local channel.
Okay.
he gets those.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, and they have a good, I think they have another good broadcasting crew that isn't, I think Dave Fleming, right, does it with Mike Kirko. And Dave Fleming's like a national, he's a national ESPN.
It's the two Kuiper brothers do the, one does the A's, one does the Giants, and they're both from Racine.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know they were both from Racine.
Really?
No, I had no idea. So there we go. Well, we have a good show tonight. Is everything okay over there, by the way?
Yes, it is.
All right, just checking. All right, we have a good show tonight. Looking forward to talking. We're going to talk a little bit about who's your optimal Madden team. Who is?
It's only 66.
Oh, wow. It looks older. The optimal Madden team. We're going to talk about the Brewers' big series against the Cubs. Go back into football to talk about the Packers, and then go through a couple smorgasbord things with the PGA and the NBA. So excited to get into it. Mitch, you are the video game guy, so when did Madden officially come out?
For Friday.
I always...
Friday, August 10th.
For years and years and years.
But if you wanted to do the $80 version, you could get it on Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So now 2K is doing that where... They have Madden's done that the last couple of years. You get the early access. Mm-hmm. If you get the Hall of Fame edition that had TO on it, it was $80. And 2K is doing that now where you get like a $90 edition with LeBron on the cover. And of course, Giannis is on the standard edition. So I'm just going to wait until the standard edition.
Absolutely. As most, I think, Milwaukeeans will. Yep. But
plus, so, I would anyway.
Yeah.
If it's going to cost me an extra $30.
I was always a big... Madden for my birthday, because obviously it would always roll around. So I'd buy my business plan when I was video games guy would be to buy NCAA football for myself, save up my hard earned money.
And that comes out in July.
Yes. Yeah,
so you tip used to. Yep, mm-hmm. RIP.
RIP for sure. I may be still playing video games if NCAA football was a thing.
Yeah.
And may come back. And then
we'll see.
And then Madden, I would get for my birthday.
In the last couple of years, Madden was coming out like end of August, like literally 2 weeks before the season came out.
Really?
Maybe the last 5 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then this year again, they moved it back up. I wonder if that'll probably help their sales.
Yeah.
Because
I think it should. I think it'll get people more excited about the season. Who knows? Maybe it'll help with ratings. I know that's kind of a dumb, that might be pinheady, but so many people play Madden and so many casual fans play Madden to where they know that guys are on certain teams because they're playing Madden rosters.
I mean, I used to study. That's how I know who's on what team is video games. So usually, I mean, I skim through the rosters and I'm like, okay.
It's not a bad practice. If you're not dialed in every day to go through the roster, be like, especially, you know, positions like offensive line, defensive line, even some of the, you know, corner linebacker.
You know, but like in middle school, I could tell you like the third string guard of the Dolphins because I knew the I played so much franchise.
Right, exactly.
And so that's the gist of our conversation here is so last year I was the Eagles when I played. I usually do Madden for about pretty heavy for about the first month, maybe two these days. And then I either kind of move on to 2K or just, you know, get sick of it, and I either get rid of it pretty early. But I did one with the Eagles where I did a season or two. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Eagles ended up winning the Super Bowl in real life.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty proud of that. So I'm kind of looking for a franchise team that I rule out NFC North and AFC West.
And
because that's my two teams' divisions. I would never be the Bears or somebody.
Or the Broncos or Phillip Rivers.
I thought about the Chargers for a second, but I hate Phillip Rivers, but Melvin Gordon's awesome.
So would you have traded? Would you? You could be the Chargers.
I could trade him.
You trade Phillip Rivers to somebody.
That's an idea, maybe. So, yeah, maybe.
So selecting your team.
I went with, as of today, the Houston Texans.
Okay. I think that's way up there. That in terms now, of Mount Rushmore.
Having said that, so, you know, my boy Deshaun Watson.
Right.
My boy DeAndre Hopkins. Your boy J.J. Watt.
Right.
That defense is good.
Yes.
Offensive line, horrible.
So
everybody's like under a 70.
You're just scrambling all the time with Watson, basically.
That's what I ended up doing a lot. Yeah, played one.
I think that's an interesting team. I was thinking about this for you. I think the Rams are another team that would be way up there with Gurley and Goff.
But the thing, their jerseys, man, I just don't – I can't get down with, like, they still have their old tops, with new everything else.
That's
so bizarre.
And it's a huge thing, and you may think that's like a nuanced thing, but if you're playing with this team for a franchise for 16 right. games, you want to at least enjoy their jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So now, granted, this is...
I like the Texans.
What about San Francisco with Jimmy G? Can you do that as an Oakland fan? Does it really matter? I know their fan base is... I just think they have a, you know, Jimmy
I don't really
G.
have a... I mean, the Niners bother you more than they bother me.
I'm not bothered by the Niners. Don't get me wrong here. I just have a
You're still having night sweats from some of those games.
No. I have no problem with the Niners. They are just the sexiest of sexy teams.
Oh, yeah.
They are the, you know, Lindsay Pelelis of the NFL this year. I mean, they're the Camille Kostick.
Well,
like,
when...
They are... as hot as it can get.
For good reason, but they'll probably get what's coming to them.
Right. I will say Kyle Shanahan's a mastermind, and year two of Kyle Shanahan for so many different quarterbacks has worked out a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fascinating chess match when Shanahan goes up against Mike Pettine in middle of October. That should be probably
that's
one of the,
in Green Bay, right?
Yeah, Monday night. Should be one of the better Monday night football games that's on the slate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think San Francisco would be a team that would be way up there. I'm trying to think who else would I really
like. I like Tennessee.
Tennessee.
But
Mariota, is Mariota good?
I don't know. He's fine. Them going to blue helmets, though, kind of pisses me off.
Their jerseys are kind of trash this year, aren't they? I mean, they were some in the preseason. They weren't all that special. What do you feel about the Jacksonville Jaguars with that defense and, you know, Blake Bortles?
I mean, the whole AFC South is kind of tempting.
Right, exactly.
Because I want to find that team that's not too good. Like, the Rams are kind of too good.
Okay. And are the Jaguars too good?
Not necessarily. Their offense isn't that good.
Okay.
So
you can still build a winner there.
Probably.
And if you watch The Good Place, which I know you probably don't, recommend it for those who haven't watched The Good Place. It's on Netflix. It's an NBC show. And there's this whole inside joke about the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I would feel like aching to be the Jaguars. But that's here nor there.
Yeah.
I don't think I could be the Giants, even though Saquon would be a lot of fun. I couldn't have Eli Manning as my quarterback.
Correct.
I also think,
too, that like the NFC South is kind of out. Nobody. Carolina, maybe.
The Saints are probably too good.
Saints are too good. I don't like playing with dome teams, domes.
Gets boring after a while, right?
Yeah.
You want to see the elements. Like,
right.
That's always the dopest thing about when you're playing a season with the Packers.
Although, I hate when it rains.
Oh,
in Madden,
I inform us. Why do you hate?
Well, the game looks better when it's sunny.
Uh huh.
Like the reflections on their uniforms and stuff. Like the game looks good. Madden. I mean, it looks good. You know, the guys look pretty. Their faces look decent. You know, 2K is better, but Madden does pretty good for, you know, guys wearing helmets and stuff. And the game looks better. The grass looks cooler. Like it's sunny. It's nice. The rain and plus it affects the gameplay a little bit. You know. Guys fumble more.
I loved when I'd get a random snow game when I would just be playing in Lambeau and it's
snow's
snowing
cool.
And I'm like, oh, this is badass.
Right.
The other two teams, who would you rather be? A Madden-led team with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, or a Madden-led team with either Tyrod Taylor or Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns?
The Ravens, probably.
Better jerseys.
Yeah, better jerseys and... there's more talent there.
Right. You don't have, that's not literally going from the ground up.
Right.
So
the Browns would be.
So yes, absolutely. But yeah, let us know. So give us the rules. So for those who are, you know, Packer fans or listening or Vikings fans, so no NFC North teams. Probably.
No NFC North, no AFC West.
AFC West
and
for those who aren't Raider fans.
They can't be too good.
Too good. And what's too good? 85 or better as an
overall? Yeah, probably. Something like that.
Okay.
You know. 85 is still probably doable.
Yeah.
But once you get into, like, you know, New England, it's too good.
Right. High 80s.
The Eagles are obviously really good.
How do you think I would do as someone who hasn't played Madden in 7 years?
It's probably way different than.
Oh, yeah.
They got a whole new engine, like, last year.
Okay.
So even if you played it 4 years ago.
I kind of remember you guys, like, you know, my roommate Mike and you both play a lot, and you guys bitched quite a bit about the new engine.
Yeah, I mean, it's the running is difficult. You have to be patient. It's kind of cool though, in a way,
because they make it more like game feel. Essentially,
yeah,
makes sense.
You know, I don't mind Madden.
And that segment was brought to you by Snowtap Gaming. SnowTap Gaming. We are still looking for patrons. You guys can sign up. But I'll tell you, one of the cool things that we can offer you is Murph basically coached me through a fantasy football draft on Sunday. You speak of those Texans. I had Nuke as a keeper, and then I was able to get Deshaun Watson in the draft. So whether you want to talk to Murph before the draft, whether you want to have him sort of there just to say, hey, bounce some ideas off of you, which is kind of what I did, and then we bullshitted as it went on, he's there for you. We can make him available if you do need him to kind of run through different picks. My draft went pretty well. Definitely dealing with some competition, and I was the winner of that league thanks to Murph's cheat sheet. So this is going from the 10 spots, never easy.
Not to spoil it, but where did Deshaun Watson end up going? Just to give myself an idea.
He went in the 5th round, but that would be the 3rd round.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's a pretty high pick for somebody. You know, he's going to be a trendy pick.
Here's the thing.
But he's coming off a torn ACL.
Sure.
The sophomore slump is almost inevitable.
Right. The reason I got Deshaun Watson was because I had DeAndre Hopkins, and I had that stack. And yes, it's a half PPR, so touchdowns are weighed more in this league. So the idea of having the double up with Hopkins and Watson was too good for me to pass up. I did also, in the very late rounds, not that anyone cares about my fantasy team, get Jared Goff. So I have a good insurance policy that's kind of sitting on my bench.
And you like Goff because of the weapons he has now?
Weapons. I mean, I think...
Situation, good, you know, running back.
Murph was telling me...
Sean McVay.
As we were talking about it, like, Robert Woods is a guy who's getting underdrafted. Like, Robert Woods is a guy who you guys should be targeting.
He's their third receiver now, right?
Right, but he's... I mean, I think he is their... Like, he's Goff's go-to guy. I won a lot of money on Robert Woods last year through DraftKings because he's just a big play guy. He's also a guy who can catch a slant and go 60 yards. He is a better receiver than Cooper Kupp from a fantasy perspective. You might say Cooper Kupp
is their third receiver.
Cooper
Kupp's
their third, yeah. But he led the team in red zone targets last year. So like Cooper Kupp isn't a slouch by any means.
Right.
I can't think like offhand of the surprises. I think some of the running backs going as quick as they did, like I was ready to draft like Alex Collins, Joe Mixon, and a few others, and they all went right before me. Derrick Henry too, all went right before me. So, and the other thing that's kind of a sharp move that we did, and then I'm done talking about my fantasy team. Be aware, especially on Yahoo, of the guys like Mark Ingram and Julian Edelman who are suspended for 4 games. They are way under on the Yahoo rankings, so they get kind of lost in a shuffle. So people aren't necessarily paying attention to them.
Okay.
So you can kind of take a flyer on Ingram or Edelman if you have backups and you know that, hey, maybe I just need to survive these 4 weeks.
Yep. There you go.
So all that. And that's kind of, you know, that's part of that cheat sheet. And that's in the cheat sheet. Murph had guidance about those flyers. So sign up. It's $3.40. I'm happy to talk to you guys about it. We'll keep that rolling. As you guys have fantasy drafts, let us be there for you. I'm drafting again on Sunday after a birthday party, so that should be a hell of an experience. But we'll make it happen. All right, moving on to the Milwaukee Brewers. We've gone long enough. The Milwaukee Brewers, I know, we'll be fast. We're having fun. It's
yep.
300. So the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be playing the Chicago Cubs for a 2-game set here. This is probably the biggest game of the biggest series of the year thus far. And the Brewers are playing 2-day games. They've lost their last 9 day games on the season. You're facing Jose Quintana this afternoon. Quintana has been a beast against the Brewers, although people...
The only team he pitches well against.
Right, exactly. But Mike Moustakas has three home runs against Quintana. Fun little fact. So maybe Mike Moustakas is the answer to
He's faced him a bunch.
Right, exactly. From his days with Quintana being on the White Sox, Moustakas the Royals.
I think it's time for... Well, not time. I don't want to make it sound that way, but Yolis Chastain needs to be awesome.
Oh,
I
right.
Think.
And it's going to be a hot day in Wrigley. I think it's 89 up here in Milwaukee today. It's going to be just as hot in Chicago. Cubs are riding good vibes after the puke-worthy walk-off Grand Slam. And of course, I turned to ESPN, and I'm like, oh, good, I'll watch the Cubs lose 3-0. And then Ryan Matson just puked all over his fucking shoes. And then David Bodie just nails one.
And just like, the luckiest team in the union.
I was like, God damn it. Like, I knew it was coming too. Once the bat, Contreras gets hit with a 2-2 curveball of all fucking pitches, I'm like, all right, here we go. It's gonna end bad. I don't know if it's gonna be 3-3. I don't know if it's gonna be a walk-off grand slam. It's gonna be something bad. And then it was grand slam, and I like literally just had it turned channel. Like, I muted it. I turned it to like Snoop Dogg's Joker's Wild game show on TNT. And I'm like, you know what? I can't. Like, I just can't. I wrote about it yesterday. It broke me. So a lot of things are riding against the Brewers. I've been kind of doing a panic meter on Daily Tap. So I ask you, Mitch, where is your Brewers panic meter at on August the 14th?
1 to 10?
Yes.
3.
Oh, look at you. I love it.
I mean, I'm all right. You know, they're still 13 games above 500.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the Braves are pretty good. You're at their ballpark. You didn't get Friday, you got your ass beat. Saturday, you were lucky to win.
Maybe.
But Sunday, you know.
Sunday was a hot day in a ballpark.
So
right?
Here's the thing. The bullpen sucks. Suddenly.
Yes.
The bullpen's also banged up.
Yeah.
And they're going to get guys back.
Right.
They're going to get, well, we hope, you know, that we hope nothing lingers. But you're missing Taylor Williams, Joaquin Soria, who's been tremendous this year.
Right.
Corey Knebel's not right, obviously, but hopefully we can get him back.
He's broken.
As soon as possible. Who else is in the DL? Matt Albers.
Fat Albers, yes.
He's better. He has to come back to earth.
Yeah, I think at some point they're gonna tell Matt, like, hey, look, like, and I'm not trying to be a dick.
Other than that, guess what? The offense is pretty good.
Yeah,
finish.
No. They're fourth in runs right now. And
right, the offense is fine. Jonathan Schoop has to be better. Moustakas has been good since coming back.
Ryan Braun,
if not great,
been awesome this
Ryan
month.
Braun has been fantastic in August.
Do you know
Jesus Aguilar is starting to come back around.
Do you know
Hernan
Braun
Perez is starting to hit again.
Yeah, he's fourth 66 in the last 7 days.
Right.
Do you know that Ryan Braun had a great catch? I don't know how many times the broadcast on Sunday. Like,
that was an awesome fucking catch.
It was, but Christ almighty, like...
It's probably because they didn't get to do the game yesterday or
also,
on Saturday.
Why the fuck are we submerged to Craig Kishon calling baseball games? Can we be done with that experiment?
I don't know, man.
That one where you're not going to comment and just let me kind of rant?
Well, I don't know. I don't think he's that bad, but mute the TV. I don't care.
He's and now you know no Rock pivotal game and we get Craig Kishon and Dan Plesac.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
Whatever.
You don't like Plesac?
I haven't heard Plesac, so this will be my first. As the one, you know, there are a few.
Speaking of video games, he's in MLB The Show.
There's subtle advantages to unemployment, and one is that I get to watch these Brewers Cubs series with no interruption.
True.
And so we get to sweat it out on Tuesday and Wednesday and probably just swear at my TV. Wednesday, obviously, birthday, so not working out. Probably have a few pops in the afternoon.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Just really gonna indulge. Maybe chopsticks will be part of. Maybe chopsticks on deck for a little Wednesday afternoon. I don't know. Maybe I'll just throw in a Tombstone Pizza and just call it a day. But regardless, that'll be really fun to watch those games. And I love your optimism because I've been a little nervous just on different things, and you've kind of talked me down. I think the other thing that helped was Buster only had the fan graphs like the World Series, and the Brewers are only at like 1% to win the World Series. But they're at 58% to make the playoffs. The Cubs are a heavy favorite to win the division. And someone pointed
out, I feel like that was just like 84 low, like a week ago.
Wow. They're still the fourth highest in the National League. Or maybe the third highest. They're way up there. The Cubs are really the only lock right now.
This is a huge week, and St. Louis is hot again now, too, yep. So of course we face them when they're hot.
Right, but the Brewers have had some really good luck against St. Louis, and I think part of the hotness of St. Louis is Matt Carpenter. You know, we kind of left him out of that MVP conversation last week, which is a big omission on us, maybe intentional,
because
he just haunts our dreams whenever he faces the Brewers. But, the Cardinals are red hot. So if the Brewers come out of this and they're 3-2, no matter how which way you cut it, if you're 3-2, you get swept by the Cubs, but you come back and you beat the piss out of the Cardinals this weekend and sort of end that dream of the Cardinals being a wild card team,
yep.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
Yeah, probably.
I'm okay with that. I'll withstand all of the dramatics and the theatrics and the histrionics that'll go on Twitter and blame David Stearns. And they're starting to become this David Stearns isn't as good of a GM as we think he is corner. That's slowly but surely developing.
Oh, yeah. And with every loss, that piles up.
Right. And it doesn't help that Scope has been unimpressive. Gausman dominated the Brewers on Friday evening, and Soria's on DL. And I think the Stearns conversation, it's probably one for another time, but you, I think, said this like in a group chat, not on the podcast, but like, I don't think teams want to trade with David Stearns anymore.
Could be.
I think there is a David Stearns has to retool how he thinks about trades because he knows he has to know that guys just don't want to deal with him.
Yeah. He's the, you know,
he's king shit. Yeah. And Theo had to deal with that. And others have had Friedman
big
from
swinging dick at the Cracker Factory.
When Friedman was at the Rays, no one wanted to deal with the Rays for the longest time. Now he's with the Dodgers. And even then, I don't think people really want it. The Dodgers just have more assets than God. So it's like, okay, whatever. I mean, they gave fucking 5 prospects for Manny Machado half year. Although I'm not convinced they won't sign Manny Machado, by the way.
They might.
I'm on that corner where Corey Seager had a Tommy John injury as a shortstop. He might never be able to play shortstop again. He might have to play second base, at least next year. I mean, Keston Huerta, or Huerta?
Hura.
I'm going to mispronounce that probably till episode 400, episode 500.
Probably.
But
might want to start getting that one, though.
Hura, yeah, I'll get it, man. The thing about it is, when you talk about a player more, like if you go back to our old podcast when we were talking about Giannis, we butchered Giannis's name for at least 3 or 4 weeks, if not months.
There are some shameless individuals out there that still do. So.
Oh, I know. Oh, it gets me.
National update anchors. I hear him saying Giannis.
Oh, God. Giannis. A national recognized podcast say it. And it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Just Giannis. It's easy.
It's really not difficult.
It's not Giannis. It's Giannis.
Yep.
But anyways, it's not to get off
people
track.
In Wausau still call him Giannis.
Well, I mean, can't blame Wausau. I mean, Wausau just found out the NBA is a thing.
They do have TVs and internet.
I know, they ignored the NBA until like 2 years ago.
Yeah, now, but no, hey, it's the Bucks' fault for not traveling the state enough and promoting their brand.
Right, exactly. But regardless, I think Machado could
look at me
stay,
fucking started on that
could
stuff.
Stay. But back to Brewers, I would like to beat the Cubs once. I think you beat the Cubs twice. Well, I'll put it to you this way. I'll give you the other inverse. You beat the Cubs twice, but you get swept by the Cardinals this weekend. It's a fucking awful weekend.
Yeah.
Because now the Cardinals are back legitimately in the mix.
Yep.
And so
who did the Cardinals have before?
They play the Nationals. They're playing Tommy Malone tonight, former gas can from Pitch doesn't even check the score. He's like,
the Nationals are so fucking bad. They're such a disappointment and so embarrassing.
Yeah, they are.
I'd be so miserable.
They are the easily. I think, thank God, the Caps won the Stanley Cup because you basically, it's like you forgot about it.
That gave
the
Nationals a free pass this season.
Right. And if the Packers were to, say, win the Super Bowl and the Bucks were to disappoint, a lot of people would forget about what the Bucks are doing because the Packers are playing well. You wouldn't, but
what if it's the other way around?
What if the Bucks?
Of course, that would be so.
That happened last year.
But that would be 6 months removed.
Right, but that was. But that was last year. I mean, the Bucks really pulled the Packer fans, the casual fans, out of the dregs in December and January. I think the Bucks should be thanking the Packers because I think they made a lot of fans in those months when people were going out.
Speaking of that, and we'll get more into this a little bit later, but the Bucks have a Sunday afternoon game, I think, before a Packer game.
Yeah.
In like October.
The Patriots. It's the Patriots. It's the Patriots Sunday night.
That's in New England, luckily.
Right. But that's a hell of a Sunday. That's like have a Sunday. Like go to that Bucs game, get yourself nice and toasty, come back home, like have something rolling in the slow cooker. Get there. I'm already picturing that we're probably going to do this. Like, okay. I could lock this in. The other one that's sneaky good is there's a 4 o'clock start the day of the college football playoffs. So if the Badgers are playing
right by New Year's
in the lake, and that's the day of the football playoff.
Yep.
They're doing it that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
If the Badgers are late month, late in that year, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Hopefully, we'll talk about the Badgers later.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff to go over with the Badgers. That's like that's a 2-week podcast. And if I've talked about the Badger hype train a lot in Daily Tap. It is it's a tough thing, man. It is going to be, they have to deal with a lot of noise, more noise than they've dealt with in years.
And that schedule is tough.
So we'll talk about the Badgers upcoming here. But yes, we wanted to mention the PGA Championship. I don't know. Do you have anything else, Brewers West?
No, that's good. I think
just win, baby.
You know, we got to get this bullpen figured out. Hopefully, Chacin comes through today with a nice start.
It'd be nice to just blow the fucking shit out of the Cubs tonight.
Yeah,
today
it'd be
great to win like 10-2 and just not have to worry about a game. I realize that's not how it works in August and September when you're grinding every game and every game feels like just pulling teeth.
I'll say this too about the Brewers, to put a bow on it. You know, the people are so down recently because it's been so many gut punch losses lately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where it's not like, I think Bart pointed it out this morning, like you can't on Monday morning that like they just haven't lost like a 5-1 game.
Yeah.
You know, or like a 4-1 game.
Or even on Friday, if you get blown out like that, it's just, oh, well, forget about it. We got another one tomorrow.
True. But they've had a bunch of ass kickings lately.
Oh, yeah.
And then the San Diego series was a nightmare.
Man, that Thursday game, I haven't been that mad at a baseball game probably since 2014, where I did a quick errand for the ninth inning, had the game on the radio, and Euchre was dialed up, like was into it, and he goes, Renfro just hit a grand slam, and I was cursing, swearing in my car, then into my like living room, like. Just, I mean, that was as bad of a loss as it could get.
Yeah. That was on Craig.
And it was on Craig. And I'll tell you what, though. That Padres team has some young talent. They are going to be good in a few years. Like, I like Franmil Reyes. I like Hunter Renfro. Villanueva's not bad.
He's a little older, I think.
Yeah, he's older. But they got some dudes.
They got Haas.
Hosmer, too.
Will Myers.
They have like top. They have 7 of the top 100 prospects, I think.
They have the best farm system in baseball.
Yeah, they're going to be right there in a few years. So, all right. So PGA Championship. We talked about it on the Daily Tap on Sunday. Brooks Koepka bringing it home, but the fact that we were getting texts. Murph and I usually save our golf chat for just between the two of us. But Mitch was texting us about golf.
From the clouds.
Says all you need to know about the Tiger Woods effect. 69% rating up.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, you know. I mean, full disclosure, I watched the game while I worked, the tournament, I followed, had it on most of the day Saturday while I was at the radio station. And because I got to have something on while I'm here. And, you know, and for me, I've been somewhat intrigued about Tiger. He's had some good tournaments this season, basically.
Sure, yeah. This summer, I mean, real has been really good for him.
But when he was moving on Saturday, moving up, closed out day two or round two Saturday morning with the suspended play, maybe that helped him. I don't know.
I think it did.
Got him warmed up, and he closed out that well, took it into round three, you know, and he was top tied for sixth after.
Yeah. And he was hovering into the, you know, he had a couple, he was just parring everything on the back nine.
Right. That's what it was on round three.
Yeah.
Because, he birdied like, three or four of the first, the front nine.
Yeah.
And then his back nine, he just kind of stagnated, but he didn't really hurt himself.
No.
So, you know, he hung in there and it was kind of intriguing. And you had kind of a younger Brooks Koepka, who's won two already a major this year.
Yep.
You know, trying to hold him off. And even Brooks Koepka said after the tournament, like, was kind of cool to see as a fan, somebody who grew up watching Tiger Woods, which is,
right.
you know, he's our age, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's got to be crazy for him. He obviously still wants to win. Part of me was like, Brooks, you son of a bitch, just let him win. Let's get this over with.
Exactly.
But now Tiger Woods, conveniently, that was the last tournament of the year. So now we got to sit there and...
It was the last major of the year.
Last major.
But, so then I'll turn it around and ask you. So the FedEx Cup, the playoffs, Tiger's 20th, it starts in 2 weeks. Are you into that FedEx playoff now for the next 4 weeks because Tiger has a chance to move up and potentially win the $10 million and become the, I think, 3-time FedEx winner?
Well, he's going to have to win a tournament or two, right?
Yeah, you'd have to win a tournament.
So, I don't know. Probably not. Honestly, I wish I was, but I would probably watch it if he had a chance to win it. I would watch the final tournament.
Yeah, I think if it's Sunday and he's in the mix because Twitter was amazing on Sunday. Like, talk about like a good Twitter experience. Tiger Woods, when everybody's there, you have people who watch every tournament you have people who have just turned it in for the first time.
There is nobody who does more for their sport than Tiger.
And I love Jim Furyk being like, well, he's not a lock to be like a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup. It's like, bro, you're picking him for the Ryder Cup.
But
like,
that's the best he's golfed in 10 years.
Well, and he's been playing real good golf all sorts of, you know, the last few.
Solid.
Yeah, and the whole reason about with the Ryder Cup is like, so basically how it works for those unfamiliar, the captain, Furyk, has 4 picks. And he has 8 guys who are already locked in. Same with Europe. And you have 4 guys to pick from. And Woods, Phil Mickelson, too, are among those who could get picked for that. And Tiger's going to be there as a vice captain.
Do you think Phil's any good anymore?
No, I don't think so. Actually, that's going to be like the big controversy of the Ryder Cup is like if Phil gets a spot over a guy like Tony Finau or Kyle Stanley or Bryson DeChambeau, who everybody fucking hates. But he's been a really good golfer this year. There's going to be a lot of controversy if Phil gets a Ryder Cup spot. I suggested on Daily Tap on Sunday, I said what Phil should do is Phil should say, I'll take Tiger's vice captain spot. I'll still be with the team. I'm not going to play, but Tiger should, you know, be that guy. Like, let's not have Tiger wear multiple hats.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tiger's part of the Ryder Cup, those ratings will be huge.
Yeah.
It's in Paris, so it'll be a early morning golf, which nothing gets my dick harder than early morning golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really. Waking up to golf is the fucking best.
It is weird for me for some reason to see these guys start their round at like 2.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
it's
all for the West Coast.
They try to get it done at 6, but to start that, you know, golf is a morning.
Yeah,
I don't know what the players like. I don't follow golf enough. I don't know what they prefer.
I think it depends. I mean, I think they obviously want to be the last guy in the course because then you know what you have to shoot, especially if you're leading. There are the guys who are trailing from behind who they're going to try to put up a number and have the guy beat it. You know, I think Paul Casey did that this year. I think at the Valspar, where he was like, and Tiger was in contention there, but Casey put up a number that was so big, no one could get it. And you just, if you go low enough, and that's what Tiger was hoping to do, but Koepka was just a fucking assassin.
Yeah.
And, you know, Murph had I think his swing coach, no, Ian O'Connor on his golf show. And Ian O'Connor, ESPN guy, said, look, Brooks is an assassin. Like, you're going to have to beat Brooks Koepka. He's not going to beat himself. And that's fact. And now you have Brooks for the Ryder Cup, which should be great. I mean, the U.S. team is stacked for the Ryder Cup. I mean, they have DJ, Koepka, Jordan Spieth, Bubba, who's been okay, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. I mean, Patrick Reed, American hero.
The Masters champ.
Patrick Reed's only popular during the Ryder Cup because he's such an American fuck that he trolls all of Europe and people just get so giddy for it.
What a guy.
I know. Is this too much golf talk for you now?
We're getting there. Yeah.
All right. So also, you know, Buck's schedule came out on Friday, went over some headlines. What's the thing that kind of stood out to you looking at the schedule and had a couple days to digest it?
Well, a lot of primetime games or a lot of national games.
Yes, the media, definitely there is a lot of love for the Bucks this year.
And I think a lot of that has to do with no LeBron.
Yep,
for sure. They have to find somebody to make up in the East to put on TV.
Right.
And Giannis is right there, you know?
Yep.
There are, I don't know about back-to-backs. I haven't looked at that yet. I'm sure that'll, I'll see that at some point. I don't think it's too bad.
No, from a glance, it wasn't terrible. One thing I loved was the fact that they have six out of their eight first games at home, and one of the road trips is to Charlotte to start the year, so you're completely fresh. And then the other one is a back to back, but you're going to Minnesota, and then you're coming home to play Orlando.
Yep,
pretty good. That's a pretty good way to start the season.
And I do like having Indy for the first game.
Oh yeah, it's a
I just think it's a you know, and nobody will remember in January. But at the same time, I would like to see what happens that first game. I don't think Indiana's that good.
I don't know.
Like, they're a solid team, but they ain't winning more games in the Bucks this year.
I don't know.
They ain't gonna do that.
I don't know. What do you think about the early West Coast trip?
Love it.
Okay. So big into that.
Get it over with.
And I mean, they have another one in March, which to me is their hardest month by far, where you have to play the Lakers twice. You have to play Houston once. I believe you play Miami a couple times. There are a few other teams that are pretty challenging in that month of March.
Let's see, March here. Yeah, Indiana, New Orleans, tough. You get the Philly ABC Sunday home game.
Yes, on St. Patrick's Day.
On St. Patrick's Day. You have Indiana, Charlotte, who could be sneaky if they stay healthy.
I think they got to go to San Antonio, which who knows where the Spurs will be.
To San Antonio for a Sunday night game.
Oh, that'll be a loss.
Yeah. Clippers will be decent, maybe. Houston. Atlanta's a cakewalk. 11:30 a.m. at Atlanta on a Sunday.
They finished the year with four out of their last six are against Atlanta and Brooklyn.
Correct. That's huge.
That's massive, especially if they're fighting for a playoff spot.
That's like the Bulls a couple years ago, I remember.
Yeah.
They had to play like Brooklyn and some other shitty teams.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
last, like, they got in as the eight seed because they played.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like five or six trash teams in a row to end the year.
And I haven't really looked at other teams' schedule. The only thing I saw was Philadelphia has a brutal stretch where they're like on primetime basically for like 2 weeks.
Really?
But it's all against really good teams. And it's like, oh, it's going to be a real disappointment for all the ratings when Philly's just a 500 ball club this
year. Yeah, I just don't see how they got better. But and if you aren't getting better, you're getting worse, right?
Right.
So let's see. One thing I wanted to bring up too were all these 8:30 games.
Yeah. That's for ESPN, right?
Correct. Bizarre to have an Eastern Conference team play at 8:30.
I think it's
but they do it.
I think ESPN won.
Not unheard of.
I'm sure ESPN reached out to the Bucks and said, "Hey, do you think you can fill 8:30 games?" And they're like, "8:30 on a Friday? Okay, yeah,
It worked out for the playoff game.
Oh yeah, they were like, we saw how that crowd was at 8:30 on a Friday.
Yeah,
I think you can get everybody nice and liquored up for the game. Now you do have a couple 8:30s on Wednesdays, which is a little late. I'm sure there'll be a local sports take. The Bucks are keeping the kids up too late.
Yeah.
No one's paying attention to the Bucks at 8:30. That's like a Dave Bagel column. If Dave Bagel is Dave Bagel still writing?
I have no idea.
Oh God,
Dave Bagel. I didn't see a single 8:30 Wednesday.
Oh, maybe not. I think they play one early on against Philadelphia in like.
Oh,
October.
You might be right.
That might be the only one.
Second week, fourth game of the year.
I'm there for it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so here's a question, and it's related to the schedule. How difficult, I think, from a scale of 1 to 10, do you think it is to be able to get tickets? We haven't seen the pricing. We haven't seen what SeatGeek, a single game, is and aren't out yet. What do you think? How hard do you think it is going to be to snag tickets?
I'm guessing if you want to go, you can probably go.
How much of it do you think you're paying for upper deck seats?
I don't really know.
We don't know yet.
I don't know what to gauge it off of, you know?
Right.
The days of getting in for $10 are probably over.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know, you might be looking at $40 or $50 for
right. I think especially for the bigger games. I don't know if we're going to do a class field trip to the block party, but I think you and I are both planning to try to attend that Sunday afternoon and go check it out and go see what it's all about.
Is that where you're going to get your ticket prices, you think?
Maybe. Yeah, I think you'll probably, single games will be convenient.
I mean, they have to reveal them at some point.
And I think single games will be conveniently available, and you'll have ticket brokers right there telling you,
probably,
hey, get a four-pack, and it's going to cost you less than getting just one ticket and per game.
Right.
I think you just have to, and this is would be my
advice. Oh, yeah. I noticed how you have to sign up for free tickets.
Oh, yeah?
Don't get me started on that shit. That's so they have your information. They can email you.
It's exactly.
It's like, I know what you're doing, and I don't like it.
As someone who's done it and given away tickets for that, that's how you build customer lists.
You're one of those snakes.
Well, hey,
I know how it works.
That's how you do business, baby.
That's how you get a phone call from their ticket office and you say, "Well, I actually work at a sports radio station, so I can sit right behind the bench if I want to."
I can shoot a three if I want.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
My advice to Bucks fans, if you're like, I want to target, I want to get to the arena as soon as possible, my advice would be to look for the shittiest opponent. That Kings, afternoon game before the back game, that to me is like a great spot where you're like, okay, not many people are going to go pay to watch them play the Kings on a Sunday, no less when NFL's going on in full throat.
Yeah.
Go to that.
There will be good crowds, though. I mean.
Oh, 100%.
I'm guessing the number they want is like 10,000 season ticket base.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. Probably more than they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still only, 60% of the arena.
So it's about about 70,000. It's only 1,700. It's 17,000, excuse me.
Right.
So is that right? I'm doing the math.
I mean, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, 60%. You're right. So,
wow, really?
No, yeah, 58%.
Wow. Yeah. So whatever, I knew it was pretty close.
Right.
So you'll be able to get tickets, but it's not going to be, again, you're not going to be able to walk up and
right.
There might be some scalpers already. Who knows?
Yeah, and there might be opportunities. You just have to, like I said, find the right game and also seize on the opportunity.
Yeah.
Sometimes tickets are much cheaper a week out because people don't know what's going on or what's happening. You know.
I want to see what they did when the Bradley Center opened.
That was
1988, 89.
That was years ago, man. I mean, things, so much has changed now, right?
I know, but I mean, you can still see if they made a considerable leap or were like number one in attendance.
Oh,
or...
okay. Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean.
So right now, there is some tickets available on SeatGeek right now. Okay.
For the home opener?
78 is the get-in price for the home opener. 25 for the Knicks, 34 for the Sixers, 37 for a Saturday night game against the Magic, 26 against the Raptors, 38. That Grizzlies Bucks.
That's pretty standard for StubHub. I mean, that's what it was this past year at the Bradley Center.
That Grizzly Bucks game, the get in price is $18 November 14th.
Seventh in attendance the first year that they
opened
the Bradley Center.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's.
I think you're gonna get get some huge crowds, and I think you're gonna get a lot of sellouts. I don't know if every night's gonna be a sellout, but it's gonna be a really raucous crowd. And I really think the Bucks are going to have a massive fan base. I mean, I think the fan base is just gonna keep growing and growing and growing.
Yeah, it's a new era.
Oh, no question about it.
New head coach. Competent head coach.
Oh, speaking of which, as someone pointed out, like, nobody understands how bad Jason Kidd is in the national media. I think No Tech Ben had something like that. Here's what Ben said. I think it was yesterday, but I saw it on Monday. The Bucks, when you throw Budenholzer in there, they probably got better. Make no mistake, the national media is still completely in all claps, clueless about just how bad Jason Kidd was. In deference to Bucks unity, I won't mention Jabari Parker. It's absolutely right. Yep. 100%. And also, Kidd has such a media mafia that he just gets protected on all corners.
Yep.
So that's another topic for another time.
Well, and he lasted so long. I actually watched a video on YouTube this morning from B-Ball Breakdown.
Yeah.
He broke down basically how Jason Kidd fucked up.
And it
released it the day he got fired.
Yeah.
So they had it in their chamber.
How about Giannis only having like
29 lobs?
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis had like 152.
Yeah, he had like 10 times what Giannis had.
God damn it. We're going to just have to, we'll be playing like Shawshank drops and like any like Freedom drops like all throughout like October and November.
Yep.
It's going to be great. All right. We'll be back.
We never got to Packers stuff, but.
We didn't. Nope. Shit. All right. Well,
you got it though.
We'll talk Packer training camp tomorrow on the Daily Cap. We'll look forward to that on the birthday pod. I'm sure there'll be some reflecting on me being 30. And you guys can all tell me how fucking old I am. All right. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. It's been a pleasure to do 300. Can't wait for 301. We can't wait for 400, 500, 600, 700.
Hundreds.
All right. Take care. Go Bruce.
See.